Welcome back to Sportsline here on a Wednesday night on WBAL News Radio 1090. Right now we're joined by the former head of public relations for the Baltimore Orioles and now the head of Maroon PR, John Maroon. John, how are you?
Good evening, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, I do appreciate you coming on. It dawned on me today when thinking about the big actual news of the day, which is not sports news, at least not on the surface, which is news between the United States and Cuba. And thinking back to March 28th, 1999, when you were with a trip with the Orioles and you guys went to Havana, Cuba to play a baseball game. Looking back on this about 15 years ago, it's just amazing to think about it. But I want to kind of get your take on the trip and some of your memories of that trip.
Yeah, that was an amazing trip indeed. I mean, that spring was already very eventful. Cal Ripken Sr. had gotten very ill, and the reason Cal Jr. didn't make that trip ultimately was because of the passing of Cal Sr. But, you know, it was such a groundbreaking trip. People might remember or might not that it was a international story. This trip down to Havana, this exhibition game, and, you know, kudos to Mr. Angelos, if memory serves me. He really pushed to make sure it was the Orioles representing Major League Baseball in this historic trip down there. And it was crazy, fast, chaotic, fun, memorable, you know, everything you could think of.
Yeah, and tell me what it was like in spring training and with a bunch of major league players and really a spring training team. Again, this is March 28th, so you're almost at the end of spring training, although I think the Orioles went back to Fort Lauderdale to finish out the Grapefruit League after this game. But the process in which you'd even have to get to Havana at that point.
Yeah, it was interesting. So really, who was going to Havana and who wasn't, when the details got firmed up, it was a very late push to get things together and make sure everybody had their passports. And that was one little thing, you know, not everyone had a passport at the time. I didn't have one, and a lot of other folks didn't have one. So, you know, the Orioles managed to get the appropriate government officials to actually come out to the complex, go through the process with us, get our passports in time, process everything, determine who was going to go. And then there were some people that didn't want to go. You know, Rafael Palmeiro didn't want to go for all the reasons you might think a Cuban-born athlete wouldn't want to go. And so he didn't go. And then, like I said earlier, Cal didn't go because he was mourning the loss of his dad back up in Baltimore. And, you know, just kind of piecing that all together was pretty hectic. But, you know, it came together. We had an amazing trip. It was a short but memorable flight over there. And certainly, you know, just being around the Cuban people, it felt very much like almost being on another planet, because, you know, Cuba is one of those places as an American you'd never go to. You can never go. My dad used to tell me how he used to go when it was open when he was a kid. But, you know, we've never been. So it was very mysterious and in a lot of ways very thrilling.
Yeah, and then do you have time in Havana to yourself at any point? Do the players have time? I'm sure the club must have been somewhat concerned about that. But what were the restrictions when you got there?
Too many restrictions. I mean, we had some time, but it was a very little. I mean, I think overall we were there, you know, a night or two nights rather, and, you know, really just got there, ate as a team together. We certainly visited. I remember a handful of guys we took out to a local youth park and did a little clinic with some Cuban kids, which was really cool. And one evening, a little side story that's very funny, Mike Lear, who at the time was our vice president of broadcasting, and I went with a couple folks from ESPN because they broadcast the game. We went out. We heard that the bar where the daiquiri was invented is in Havana. So, like, heck, we got to go see that. And we're walking through the streets, and it was very eerie and surreal because where we might have some police officers on the street, they have soldiers with Uzis walking around the street. And it's a little unsettling, but we ultimately found the place. And we walked in. It was really a strange experience because the whole place is red. The carpet's red. The bar's red. The tables are red. And we walk in, there's a chair at the end of the bar that has roped off around it, and we manage through our terrible rudimentary Spanish, we manage to order a couple of daiquiris and ask them what's the story with the roped off chair. They roped it off, it was where Ernest Hemingway used to sit and drink. And so to honor him, they had that roped off. And then in a really bizarre twist that can only happen on a trip like this, we turn around and the actor George Hamilton, you know, the guy who's perpetually tan, George Hamilton is sitting there. And we said, oh, George Hamilton. He said, hello, boys. And we talked to him for a minute.
How strange is that?
Very strange. But, I mean, it was that in a microcosm. But more importantly, the next day, going to the ballpark, gigantic ballpark, and really filled with an excited and raucous crowd.
Yeah, I remember that game on television as being very intense. And the Orioles won a 3-2 game there in Havana.
It was very intense. I mean, one of the most bizarre memories, I remember we were all, it was pregame, it was before the anthems were played, right before, and we're all down on the field. I ended up actually spending the game in the dugout because I had to collect things for the Hall of Fame, Scott Erickson's jersey, some of the game-used baseballs. And Fidel Castro came marching across the field towards us to say hello. And he's in those very famous all-green Army uniform. And that was quite a surreal experience. And, you know, Ray Miller shook his hand, and Albert was glaring at him. I was afraid Albert Bell was going to make a run for him. but it was the whole thing was a very, very interesting, very surreal experience. It was short, but something I certainly would never forget.
Incredible. That game, I remember, it was somewhat controversial. Ray Miller let Scott Erickson in March pitch 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 2 walks. I'm looking at the box score now. Arthur Rhodes pitching that game. Mike Timlin, Jesse Orosco got the save. I believe Harold Baines had the game-winning hit. But the Orioles played their regulars, and it was not treated as an exhibition. I'm looking at the box score now. Only one player was substituted for in the entire game on the Orioles side of things. And then Jose Contreras pitched 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 10 Ks against the Orioles. I think it was at that time Major League Scout said, yeah, I want that guy.
Yeah, he was filthy. And that we did. We wanted to win. We, meaning the Orioles organization. It was important to us. I think it was important to Major League Baseball. We wanted to go down there and play well and represent well. We didn't want to just treat it like another exhibition game. And I thought that was what made it really special. And I think that our guys came away saying those guys can play ball. Happy for the experience, proud of the way they played. And I think Harold Baines got the game-winning hit, if memory serves. And
the game in Baltimore on May 3rd was kind of a tough one. I recall a very rainy night here, and I know there were some disgruntled Orioles that did not want to participate in the game, not for political reasons, but it was supposed to be a day off for the team, obviously. And that was not nearly as harmonious as the one in Cuba.
No, it didn't feel the same way. And I think because the guys were done playing exhibition games, and now here was another exhibition game in the course of a very long season. There were some ceremonial things that I thought were very interesting. We had a press conference with Cal Ripken, our great third baseman, and Omar Linares, their legendary third baseman. So that was pretty cool. I think there were some things like that ceremonially that were very special. But you're right, there wasn't the same enthusiasm that there was when we especially from the athlete side, when we went to Cuba. Very interestingly, the next day, I believe one of their coaches defected at the hotel to a police officer. So it was eventful for sure. But I think, you know, it was such a landmark, historic sort of thing that, you know, we as Baltimoreans should be really proud. You know, the owner of the club pushed to have the Orioles represent Major League Baseball, and it was special. It was special in hindsight, and today, with all the news breaking, it looks like it might be the last time that it's one of those sort of quote-unquote forbidden games that you'll never see again. It might become much more regular these days.
John Maroon has seen it all and done it all in sports. I can promise you this. He's never done anything quite like being the PR guy for a baseball team in the 90s playing a game in Havana, Cuba. Amazing stuff. John Maroon, thank you for letting us stroll down memory lane.
That was fun. Thanks, Brett.
That's John Maroon. We'll come back with more next here on WBAL News Radio 1090.